Hey guys, I'm Annie Allen, a certified divorce coach, RCSD divorce realtor, and your host for the Starting Over Stronger Divorce Survival and Recovery podcast, the show that's all about bringing you the practical, professional help you need as you divorce and hope for creating a life you'll love after. I don't skim the surface around here. If you want to dive deep into the wholehearted wisdom of how to have a better divorce experience than everyone else you know by changing what you do, this is the podcast for you. After a lifetime in dysfunctional relationships and over a decade in recovery, I'm ready to share everything I've learned and everything I'm still learning, along with the collective wisdom of amazing divorce professionals and divorce survivors. Because I believe the keys to a better divorce and healthier relationships to come should never be a secret. The enlightening and unconventional wisdom you'll find here is actionable and sometimes even fun, like friends chatting over coffee. So come listen in for a fresh, honest look at doing divorce differently. Starting Over Stronger is here for you, for the help and hope you need before, during, and after your divorce. Let's dive in.
Welcome to the Starting Over Stronger Show, where you'll find help and hope for your divorce survival and recovery. Divorce well, live well.
Welcome back, everyone. It's going to be a fun kind of day around here on the Starting Over Stronger Divorce Survival and Recovery Show. We talk a lot about a lot of serious topics that affect you as you go through your divorce, and we have to do that. It's a tough season that you need to get through and be as knowledgeable and confident about all the decisions you're making as possible. But you know what else is important? Having fun, smiling, laughter, seeing the positives in life, enjoying the new space in your life that you have. Hopefully your divorce and or separation has left some space in your life where there used to be arguing and tension and doubt and fear. And now, if not now, maybe eventually, you'll have some none of that anymore, and you'll have an opportunity to replace that with something. And we hope that you replace that with all the good things in life that make you smile and laugh. And so I'm excited to introduce to you today, Michelle Traina of the Divorce Diaries Show. Hello, Michelle.
Hi, Annie. How are you? Thanks for having me.
I'm wonderful. Thank you. It's good to have you here. Welcome to the show. I love the conversation that we're going to be having here today. Listeners, Michelle takes her many roles in life, actress, comic, dancer, teacher, and most importantly, mother, and combines them all to create avenues for discussion, laughter, healing, highlighting divorce. Of course, she calls it Divorce Diaries for a reason, single life and the human condition. And I know everyone listening here today needs this smiling and laughter in their life. So Michelle, thank you for being here. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I just want to say that was an awesome intro. Like, wow. Can you MC all my shows?
Because that's sure.
you just did a great job of telling everybody who I was. Like, yeah, I am all those things. And sometimes I do it like with high kicks, and sometimes I forget a bra, and sometimes I have coffee on my breath for all day. I'm a mom, a teacher, a comic, an actor, dancer, and divorced. And big part of who I am is that I, you know, since I was a kid, I loved storytelling and I loved using comedy to kind of shine. And I grew up in an Italian household, you know, from North Jersey, very rambunctious. And I think that as an Italian, traditional Italian household, I was the only girl. So we're very strict around how we were portrayed with boys. So like, you know, around the dinner table, we tell stories, right? And it was through the comedic timing that these like punchlines happened. So when I continued to grow up, you know, my brothers would, you know, we'd have these stories about being a girl and being married and the role of a woman and just stuff like this conjured up until like I got into high school. And I became an actor, and I was always dancing. And then I used a lot of my family, I guess you say my family bloodline, to use my experiences growing up as a girl in an Italian household, and then seeing, you know, people get boyfriends and like serious relationships and not kind of know what to do, because I knew nothing about what was going on with like sex education or what you're supposed to do. So like, you know, I had loved performing, and you always utilize performing as a way to filter out my experiences. I studied it in college. I toured as a children's theater actor for many years because I was very energetic and cartoon-like, you know, on stage. And then I had married my first boyfriend because I didn't really know a lot about relationships. Like, I just didn't. Like, I always wanted a boyfriend because it's like, you hold hands, he gets a kiss. And it always seems like the guys that I liked, even in high school, were either like not interested, or like I was too like, you know, I just wanted a relationship. Maybe that came across right away. I don't know. But, you know, in college, guys kind of want to play the field. So I just dated and had fun. And then when I finally met my ex-husband, I was like 23. And I felt like, oh my God, I'm 23. I need to get married. Like, I kept feeling that pressure, and I really liked him. We fell in love, but I stopped performing, and that's like who I am. And I stopped performing full time, and I found a second love because, you know, I was traveling a lot with acting, and he didn't really like that. So he didn't say it, but like, I couldn't be around him. He didn't want me touching other men when you're performing on stage, that kind of thing. So I kind of turned the switch off of like my, if I'm a volume dial, is that what they're called? The volume dials as a person, I'm at a 10, and people think, and like, that's just me being me. So like, if I'm at a 10, he wanted me like at a 5, because that's how his speed was at a 2. And I really need to dial down, because it made him feel like I'm not like that, you know?
Yeah.
And I went into teaching. I got my degree my master's in education, and I taught theater, and I loved helping kids through the arts. So I did find a second love, but you know, the part of performing kind of was taking a back seat, but I still did it. I still performed when I could. I did a show about being a teacher that was in New York City off Broadway. And then like, I kept it up. Right. But in the meantime, I was married, and I was starting to like have problems in my marriage. I got pregnant. And then the suppression of who I was starting to like bubble to the surface, which I think was causing the problems, which is you can't suppress who you are. It's not going to last. And that is a big sign that the relationship is not going to last long term.
Yeah.
So, I always joke, like I see red flags and I make them Valentine's presents. You know, like I don't, this last guy I started talking to, my cousin said to me, he's like, he didn't come with a red flag. He came with maybe like a pinkish white flag, but he has one. Because like, I just keep getting the same kind of message of, you know, falling for these unavailable men. And if I look at my ex-husband, he wasn't unavailable, but emotionally he doesn't have the availability that I kind of need to equal me out, you know? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I got divorced. It was a process. And while I was getting divorced, I moved back home with my parents back into square one. And it was like the Italian Adams family. I kept thinking to myself, I have my daughter is 20 months old, my handicapped dog, my old grandmother's living with us, my twin brother, my parents. And it was like, you couldn't make it up. So I started kept thinking to myself, divorce diaries. This is the divorce diaries, you know, next in divorce diaries, you know, my grandmother wets the bed again and my mother's screaming at her. Well, my dog tries to get outside, you know, like a reality show.
Yeah.
And then I just started to do stand-up comedy, and I had done comedy years before. I did improv in New York. And then I just was like, let me try stand-up. I really want to get back on stage. And I haven't stopped since. So, and I just kind of created the two worlds of divorce diaries and creating a live comedy show based off what was going on in my life. And I still do that. I kind of just take the material that happens to me on a day-to-day basis and kind of, I'm the mirror, you know, when I present it, if that makes sense, like the funhouse mirror.
Yeah, absolutely. It makes sense. Well, I appreciate all that you shared. And I have to ask, you know, obviously your experience is what led you on the path to I guess, engaging that part of yourself that is all about smiling and laughter and performing. What would you say is your take on just turning, what is it, lemons into lemonade, you know, like that?
I think that's always been my hustle drive mentality. I grew up very, I don't want to say very poor, but I grew up like poor. Like I had to work. I had to work to pay for my dance classes. My parents always provided for us, but the best they could. We were working class. So I was always hungry, mm-hmm. you know? And I think that I've always remembered in myself is every time I failed in life, even as a child, when I wasn't picked on a dodgeball team, I wasn't the best dancer. I always wanted to get it more. Like I was like, I'm going to get it next time. I'm going to practice as much as I can. And the next time I have an audition or the next time I'm picked on the team, I'm going to show them and I can do it. And those failures always made me feel like those were my biggest motivators. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't the smartest kid. I wasn't, you know, the prettiest girl I think that we can all say those things about ourselves, but we're not the best because no one's the best, but we, instead of being secluded and depressed about certain things, I always use it as motivation. That's just been embedded in me since I was as young as I can remember.
Yeah. What would you do differently if you had it to do all over again? Anything?
I say nothing because I think then your whole destiny, your whole path changes. And I think you learn on the path, but I do think that if I would have known a little bit more about what intimate relationship is, I probably would not have married my ex-husband, which I, you know, then I don't have my daughter. So that doesn't make sense, but
right.
I didn't know what I needed, mm-hmm. you know? And I think I was so aware of the age and marriage and children that when it presented itself to me, hey, I'm in love with this person. Hey, of course we're going to get married. I didn't tell myself, no, you don't have to get married to the person you're in love with. Like, you don't know what's going to happen 4 years from now. That's what I think I would at least tell myself to do differently. And I would never have stopped acting full time. Like, I think that was a thing that I look back at and wish I didn't stop doing full time. But again, then I wouldn't have gotten this master's in education that really made me see another lens of how to help people through the arts.
Yeah. And I love that answer. I think that's so true for anybody and everybody that we can't wish away the past because the present is the present because of the past. And, you know, we have to embrace that and make it what we want going forward.
I mean, I do regret saying some things to some exes that I guess I should have bitten my tongue about, but whatever. Okay.
Do you want to tell those stories?
Of course. I have no problem telling those stories. I mean, I'll tell one very recent. So the reason why I do this and why I love sharing my stories is because it helps me heal. And I like the comedic part of it. And I the comedic part of it is my reaction, which is an overreaction. But I had a guy I was in Los Angeles and I have feelings for this man that we were friends and we just finally met. We had this romantic 4 days together and I get home and I was like, why can't we pursue this? And he's like, I don't feel the same way. And I was like, yes, you do. I was like, don't you tell me how you felt. Because I felt him feel back. Yeah. And I know you're afraid because of your last relationships with your ex-wife and all this stuff. And he went on to tell me that I was wrong. And I was like, I'm not wrong. You're afraid. And sure enough, he released something on his, I'll call it his brand page, podcast, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
That stated he was afraid. And I called him out on it. Like, so basically I just said that, or what's your problem? And he's like, he keeps denying it. So I finally just, I have a pattern of if I'm with a man that I like and they're refusing my commitment or the commitment of us, I just like push and push and push, like, you know, things that a dating coach says not to do,
but like that's going to help.
I feel like women have such a slim picking of men because of all these different avenues. I really believe that there are good men out there. It's just that there's a lot of really good women and we mm-hmm. get, I'll be in all honesty, the, you know, the poop end of the stick mm-hmm. Because these men, this guy was not somebody I would normally be attracted to. There was a little few other issues. And I was like, here I am getting rejected by you. And I know I
should, I should be thanking you maybe, but
usually I like men.
I'm offended.
And then he says to me, he goes, this is my favorite line. He's like, if I want to have a romantic weekend with you, I will. I'm a romantic guy. It doesn't mean I like you.
What?
What is wrong with you?
What does that even mean?
Thank you. And this is like a professional, like, let me put it this way. He's professionally in the business that I'm in entertainment. He's very mm-hmm. good writer. He's a good, charming, kind.
Oh, watch out for those charming guys.
But he's like, he would keep telling me to like, stop putting him in a box. Cause like, I told him he has to pick either be with me or just work with me. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, stop putting me in a box, Michelle. And when I stayed at his place in LA, he literally sleeps in a box. He sleeps in one of those beds, like those beds on the floor.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
I was like, you want me putting you in a box, but you sleep in one? I don't know. I was so upset and reacted to him and kind of went off about it. I was like, you knew exactly what I wanted. And that's just the most recent, but like most of the time I fall for like the men that just, they appear like they want comfort and nurturing, but they can't get back.
Yeah. So, you know, now that charming is a red flag, right?
I mean, 6 years in, I still don't.
We want to think of charming as a good thing. I know, but
well, I mean,
it rarely turns out to be that.
It really, the thing is to chart. He's been the same kind. He's called me out on dating crappy men. And I looked at him. I'm like, you are one of them. He's like, well, like, he's like, no, I'm not. I'm uplifting you. How? Cause like he thinks because we didn't date, but when we finally met, we had chemistry, really good chemistry. Like it was an amazing time. And I don't feel like you go out of your way for somebody to just be friends with benefits. Cut to all of my New York City male friends. Like, yes, we do. I'm like, what? I said, I have dated these men that don't even want to pick up the phone to call me back. This guy has been spending hours on the phone with me for months. Right? Like you'd think, right? Annie, you wouldn't think that means something. And do you want me to
show we want to believe it means something.
Please leave me hope. Okay, you ready for this? He gave me his robe to take home.
Okay.
So what does that mean? So, okay, I see you're thinking like she's in denial, but I'm hoping that means something.
I don't want to be the predictor of that. That's not my job here today. Obviously, I'm not the comedian on the show today, but I do love when people laugh. I love making people laugh. I would have to say being a stand-up comedian is probably one of my many jobs I wish I've had in my life, along with social worker, police officer, detective, psychologist. You know, I think they all kind of go together, stand-up comedy with all those things, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'll be a detective just to find out where he really is when he says he's not on his phone.
Exactly. Well, I'm going to leave most of the funny business to you, but I did come up with some jokes to share.
Yeah, let's hear it.
So I want to preface them by saying I found them on the internet. I didn't write them. I hope they make you laugh or at least smile while you're rolling your eyes. So we'll start with this. The wife says, I want to know if I have grounds for a divorce. And the lawyer says, are you married? And she says, yes, of course. And he says, then you have grounds. And then the second one that I found was this guy called up his lawyer to tell him he was filing for divorce. And the lawyer inquired as to the grounds for the suit. And he said, I've got grounds all right, sputtered the irate husband. Can you believe my wife told me I'm a lousy lover? That's why you're suing? Pursued his lawyer. Of course not. I'm suing because she knows the difference. Get it? Okay, so what last one and then I'll stop. What do a hurricane, a tornado, a fire, and a divorce have in common?
A hurricane, a tornado, and a fire have in common?
With divorce.
They all cause a burn.
They are four ways you can lose your house.
But I like that. Yeah.
Okay, so I'm totally putting you on the spot here, but yeah. I know you're usually on the stage telling divorce stories, which probably flow pretty easy compared to those bad jokes. But do you have any corny jokes off the top of your head?
Girl, I just opened my Google Doc up. I have a ton.
Share one or two. Go ahead.
Okay, so hold on. The men I date are like the lineup from Tales of the Crypt. At this point in my dating history, no one is surprised, but when I tell them, it's like watching a remake of Scream. Hold on. I have this, like, I dated this Greek guy. I usually love Hispanic men, right? I have a thing for Latin guys, but not just like any Latin guys. Like, it's got to be like a Latin guy from the street who's like rough around the edges. Like, he, you know, serenades me in Spanish while choking me while we make love.
Now, is that one of your jokes or are you talking about yourself?
That's a joke. And that is true.
Oh, good.
This guy, this last guy I was with, I will say this. The last guy that I was with, I had an amazing time with, but he was recreating his jiu-jitsu class while we were being intimate. And I was like, this is getting weird. And it was like not hot and sexy. It was like trying to go for his yellow belt. Like, that's how he's practicing on me. I'm like, this is weird. Friends with benefits. What is this in our 40s? Come on, man. Do you come with an insurance card and a copay? I'm a comedian, a teacher, an entrepreneur, but it wasn't like this. I've been divorced 6 years. I was married for 5. And my parents were married for 45 years. I grew up in an Italian Catholic home where my family didn't teach me about sex education. You're a girl. You don't need to know about that. I don't know. I have a whole ton of stuff. I love doing this. I love trying out my new jokes too. I'm looking out for a few new ones, but you can cut me off if we're running out of time.
No, you're good.
I don't like when guys like tell me, you know, they're over their ex-wife, but then they'll talk about how amazing their ex-wife. Like, I had this guy say to me, he's like, oh, my ex-wife was amazing. We had a fairy tale romance. I was like, oh, so what was so fairy tale about it? And he's like, well, on our first date, we rode bikes. And I was like, because you don't have a car?
What's magical about bike riding?
He's like, no, we rode on a bike. And this is ex-wife. I come to find out that she cheated on him with 5 guys, right? 5 different men throughout the marriage. And they were only married for 10 months.
What I want to know is, was she riding bikes with all 5 of them?
She was riding something. And the best part is, like, he kept saying to me, she was a great mom. She was a great mom. And I was like, oh, well, what was made her a great mom? She talked to her daughter every night. I said,
wow.
I said, that's what we do. Like,
the depth of that. Think, like,
pop them out and say, tag, you're it. And then
we're supposed to talk to them, I think.
And I said to him, and he's like, no, you don't understand. Like, every night she would talk to her privately. I'm like, again, this is not stuff that's out of the norm. And he was like, I have, we were there for each other's family. And I was like, oh, okay. So what happened? He's like, well, her dad, you know, I went out to, you know, they lived in another country, and I'm not going to say the name because then it's going to get real close to who this guy is. But like, he goes, I helped her dad overcome tuberculosis. What? So let me get this straight. This woman sleeps with the entire Orange County in California. And because then he would say, and exposes you to tuberculosis. And this is a fairy tale. I don't understand. I've made the joke a little bit wrong, but it's a new bit I'm working on. But like, this is the last guy I was with. And like, he was like, I'm over her. I'm like,
I challenge that. If we're talking about your ex on one of our first dates, you are not over them.
And I mean, there's a whole backstory with him. It wasn't like over time we talked about our exes. So, okay. You know, it wasn't as huge of a deal, but I remember sitting on the phone listening to this and I was like, and you're rejecting me?
Maybe dodged a bullet there.
I don't want to dodge the bullet. I try to like catch the bullet and like the bullet and be like, hey, you're not going to hurt me. You're just a gun bullet. You're dear to my heart.
I can fix you.
I fix you thing. And then I'm like, I'm a boxer. I box as much as I can. Usually once a week. I get like very like, I don't hit people, but like I get real physical in my comedy. So I'm like, what do you mean? Like, I start to attack. You need to calm down. I'm like, I am calm.
Might scare people a little, maybe.
I don't know what you're talking about, Annie.
Is your divorce feeling like an uphill battle? Maybe you've put off filing, even though you know that's what needs to happen, because you're afraid of how you're going to make it work. Do you struggle with knowing you need more help than what you're getting, but feeling stuck because you don't think you can afford to get the help you need? What if I told you that you can't afford not to? As a certified divorce and life transition coach, my private coaching clients were asking themselves all of these same questions, and they're now finding clarity and confidence through the one-on-one support with someone who's been there and on the road to recovery for over a decade. And better yet, they're saving time, stress, and money on their divorce. In your six-month private coaching program, you will get at least 2 full 1-hour sessions per month by phone or Zoom. We can even meet in person for Kansas City local clients who wish or when there's a need. You also have unlimited access to text and email me with urgent concerns. This is everyone's favorite service because we all know divorce doesn't happen from 9 to 5 Monday through Friday. You will also get access to an e-drive full of personal development tools and worksheets on boundaries, personal responsibility, taking the high road, conflict resolution, life assessment, and much more. And you'll love my free app, which includes the names, phone numbers, and email addresses of every divorce professional and home expert that I know, like, and trust. You no longer have to worry about who you can trust to help you as you make decisions and changes throughout your divorce. Simply go to startingoverstronger.com and book a free discovery call. I look forward to meeting you, understanding your concerns, and sharing how coaching will help. Well, I want to share some things that I found online about smiling and laughter and how they are, why they're important, I guess.
Yeah.
You probably know all of these benefits of smiling and laughter. So I'm just going to name several of them. You can pitch in any that you know, too. It relieves stress. It elevates your mood by releasing dopamine, endorphins, and serotonin. 100%. So maybe you wouldn't need pills if you just get more sunshine and laughter and smiles in your life. It's like a built-in pill. It's contagious. It boosts your immunity. And who doesn't need that nowadays?
Mm-hmm.
It might lower your blood pressure. It might reduce pain. It makes you more attractive as opposed to alcohol, which just makes other people look more attractive, right?
That's right.
And it suggests success. Kind of that fake it till you make it thing, right?
I mean, so you just said the reducing the stress anxiety. I do a healing through humor program in a doctor's office. I was running one before COVID, but you can't, and it went virtual, which was not as, you know, good for us that we needed it. But that was one of the discussion points for me to bring up to in the actual therapist's office, was that for other patients to come see this program and come and be a part of it, was that it would lower their obsessive compulsive behaviors. It would reduce anxiety and stress because the exercises we work on create an avenue for them to take that anxiety and filter out. Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the thing about smiling and laughter is it helps you to stay positive. And so I want to try a little thing here. So I want you to smile, listeners, really big. Don't worry about what other drivers around you or coworkers are going to think. Just smile like a big goofball right now. Come on, do it.
I'm smiling.
Okay. Now hold that smile and think about something negative without losing the smile. Can you do it? It's hard because smiling, even fake smiles, make being positive easier. So I had a friend tell me one time, she was actually a confidence coach, a colleague of mine. And she said that even if you're totally faking it, you should smile or laugh out loud. It's better if you don't do it in front of people because it kind of makes you look crazy. But it does actually help because your brain doesn't know the difference between a fake smile and laugh and a real one. Isn't that cool?
I mean, I love that. I think that those belly laughs that you get when you can't stop laughing and you feel like you've worked out,
mm-hmm.
That's the goal, I think, of every comedian is to make a person laugh like that with their work.
Yeah.
I know that for me, like I'll watch The Office or Golden Girls or like Sebastian Maniscalco is one of my favorite comics. And like to belly laugh like that after a long day or after a long, you know, moment in the day makes you just want to get up and do something good for yourself.
Yeah, that's another good point I didn't have is that it probably does kind of give you energy that you didn't have before.
For sure it does. Yes.
Yeah. And certainly makes you more approachable and likable the more you smile and laugh. I mean, think about it. Do you want to hang around with people that always have a scowl on their face or something negative to say?
I divorced one.
I think we all probably did, right? Well, obviously that speaks to your relationships. If it is, you know, laughter and smiling and positivity going to save a broken marriage? Probably not, but try it. You know, you got to do everything you can and know so that you don't have any regrets. It may improve your relationships. It may not, but it'll certainly improve your life. So add smiling and laughter in anywhere you can in life. It might even make you more productive. Your boss might like it. Have happier clients, more money.
That's right.
What else do you know about smiling and laughter?
So, I mean, for me, the act of smiling personally, like I am a dancer. So physicality is just embedded in my day to day. So I feel intensely, if that makes sense. Like I'm an intense person. So if I'm sad, it's like affecting my whole day. Right.
Yes.
So I try to tap into things that not that will just make me smile, that make my entire inside smile. Right. Mm-hmm. So if you think of that too, and you create that space for a smile, right? Like, okay, staring out into my, I always sit here on my bed with looking out at my backyard because it makes me feel motivated and inspired. And I have my whole body smiling. And then if I need it, like I watch TV, I watch clips, I watch content creators that make me feel like the laughter in their content is making me feel good about myself. It makes me feel like it resonates, right? Like I poke fun at myself a lot because of like, I'm making mistakes, right? So like, if I can show that through humor and other people can do that for themselves and like get up off the bed and feel good, then that's the laughter they can embed in their day, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I want people listening today to not just laugh at the stupid jokes that we're making, but just to actually think about different ways they can increase the amount of joy and laughter and smiling that they have in their life, especially as they're going through a divorce, because there's really no other time you need it more. And that's why I said you force it if you have to. Even a fake smile can increase your feelings of happiness. And the first step to being happier is smiling, even when you don't feel like it. So figure out ways to make that happen. You know, when you were talking, it made me think about, you know, one of the saddest things I think is when there's a person, you know, that smiles a lot, but the smile never reaches their eyes. You know what I mean? When I say that, like it never really looks like, you know, maybe you see pictures of them all the time on social media or just when you're with them, the smile just seems so disingenuous because it just, you know, I don't know, maybe it's something going on inside of them or whatever, you know?
Oh yeah. I mean, I think there's an actual like authenticity to actually smiling from within and that comes outward. Right. There's also the fact that like, I personally see when I've made a difference with patients I've worked with in this Healing Through Humor program or my show, or even on social media and like with my students, when I make them laugh, they want to come and be around me. Mm-hmm. Even though there's other stuff going on in their life that's not great, right? Maybe their parents are getting divorced. Maybe there's someone in their life getting divorced or someone going through a struggle. There's emotional abuse. There's just depression. There's uncertainty of things, right? The laughter is what helps people be able to get to the next moment. Like with my daughter and struggling with things this past year, the pandemic, having a moment of laughter between the two of us would stop us from going into a dark place, whether it's like having a meltdown or having an argument. Now it's like going to this uphill battle. It would stop us in a dead in our tracks and switch gears.
Yep. It has that power for sure. And you know, one of the ways that I saw online when I was looking into this topic was that when you need more smiles and laughter, you can learn to ask yourself 4 questions. And it used the analogy or the anagram of the word HALT, H-A-L-T, and just asking yourself, am I hungry, angry, lonely, or tired? And if you're one of those 4 things, then stop and take care of that. And then see how much easier smiles and laughter will come. You know, there's lots of ways to obviously eat, deal with your anger, figure out how to not be lonely, even if you are alone, and that is possible and a great place to be. And if you're tired, you know, it's probably going to be hard to really enjoy things. So go take a nap, you know, take care of yourself. That's very important during divorce.
Extremely important. I think the loneliness part that gets to be the hardest for, especially for myself, which becomes a huge obstacle. Mm-hmm. And then that in turn causes you not to sleep and like you're kind of all in that. So that's the hard thing for, especially for people going through divorce or who have, like I've been divorced 6 years and I battle with loneliness. Mm-hmm. And I take the comedy of my life and I put it, that helps, right?
Yeah.
But alone and lonely are so different, right? Like I love being alone, but like being lonely of like where it's like you get rejected or you feel like, why am I not finding the right person? Or why does it feel like everyone else has it? That's how I look at the loneliness. And it's like, when I start to go do a show or I watch a comedy show or smile, or I talk to a friend that makes me smile, then those things start to kind of dip out and you're like, what am I so upset about? You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's so much to life. It's really disheartening how much as a society we elevate the pursuit of and the acquisition of a one-to-one, you know, what is it that I want to say? Monogamous relationship. It's like that's up on this big altar, you know, like it's the pinnacle of life. And it's so not. I mean, it's a great place to be if you get there and you want to be there, but there's so much more to life than just that.
I think that there is so much more to life. And I think it's just a societal norm for some people, right? Mm-hmm. It's also because when I was in it, I always remember thinking, oh, well, I was in it and I lost myself. Yeah. So the fear that maybe I'll lose myself again and maybe I self-sabotage. Hence why I react to men or I choose men. I don't know. Like I've started to think about it after this time, like maybe I am self-sabotage. when you do a pattern, when you're creating or when you're, modeling the same pattern over and over again, and I don't mean to veer off task, but like, then you start to think, maybe I am self-sabotaging. Maybe it isn't for me, monogamy, but what is monogamy, right? Monogamy can be for periods of time and then you move on to another person after some time alone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know that I would go so far as to say self-sabotage, although certainly that's something that some people do. But I think it gets easier and easier to, the longer that you're single, the more difficult I think it is to allow yourself to enter into that space of monogamy, because it just, there's so many things that you have to give up to be in that kind of a relationship. And it's like, you know, I always say to people, unless that relationship adds something to your life that improves in your life somehow, you know, why are you even doing it? You know, right. If you're going to, and so it becomes kind of, I think just over the course of time, it just becomes more and more difficult to settle. And that's what it feels like, I think, for a lot of people when they've been single for many years is, do I really want to settle for something that might totally change the course of my life again and yet not, you know, meet some major need that I have because I've been fine without it all this time?
It's a tough one. It is a tough one. I'm at this point in my like journey, I'm lost. I'm going to lie. I'm lost. Like I see what I do that could be fixed. I see what's working and what's not working in my life. Mm-hmm. And I'm fully dedicated to what's working and I'm shutting the what's not working, which is dating, because I don't really date. I don't put myself out there. I don't go on dating apps. I meet someone that I connect with here and there. Mm-hmm. And somehow I become too much for them. and I'm just like labeling that because it seems to be the consistency and I don't know. And I think that it also, the universe keeps throwing me the same guy in a different costume. And this last time I was like, oh, you got me good, universe. He took me out. He had me stay at his place. He brought his friends around me. he said lots of things. And yeah. then, you know, and I was like,
well, I'm not here to solve that problem. No, no, today. No. But you know what? It really is that you may just be in a season of your life where comedy is what you need and it's what you're good at and you're putting it out into the world at a time when people need it desperately. So if a relationship isn't a part of that right now, I say that's okay. You're doing good.
100%. Yeah.
I love what you've said a couple of times, which is that you just basically take all the stories of your life, of just the way you grew up and your divorce and relationships and dating and being a single mom and all of those things, and turn that into humor. And one of my favorite comedians is known for saying that people ask him all the time where he comes up with his material. And he just has that look on his face, like as he waves his right hand one way and his left hand the other, and slowly says, "Look around, people." Like, I just live my life and take good notes. And isn't that true? I mean, that's what you're basically saying.
Who may I ask who your favorite comic is?
Tim Hawkins.
Oh, he's great. Yeah. That's a quote. Yeah. And I had the quote from Kevin Hart that was brilliant that I wrote down last year, and I don't know where it is. I got to find it. But it was similar to how his, you know, his childhood and his relationship with his dad, all those turned into his material, right? Mm-hmm. And he's like, well, that's why we're good comics. Like, that's why we're good creators, right? That's why we're good, why we're artists, because we want to help other people. We want to share these experiences and make people feel good about their own experiences.
Yeah. So, yeah, I love Kevin Hart too. Yeah. You know, it's just, I think it really is just so true that we all are just living this thing called life and trying to figure it out as we go. And probably everybody is a comedian in their own right. In some way, we've told a story to a friend that was probably a painful story, but we made it into humor to deal with it. And I think that's just something we have to do. But there are other ways that we can bring more smiling and laughter into our life. We can surround ourselves with positive people. And sometimes professionals call that boundaries. But that's all it is. We can find a funny movie, meme, or joke. We can listen to positive, uplifting music. We can sing it out loud. We can dance to it. I see you putting out all kinds of videos, doing stuff like that all the time, being crazy. Exactly. We can get outside. Obviously, fresh air and sun help to boost our mood and make us want to smile and laugh more. We can call a friend and ask them to make us smile or laugh, tell them that we're struggling. And I think, you know, just think back on the funniest thing that you can recall. And then I think one good strategy for getting out of a funk is to think of one thing from your past that is like the funniest story that you like to tell people. And then who was involved in that? Call that person and relive that moment with them, or just rethink it yourself if you can't get a hold of them. But watch how that changes your mood, just visiting your past and enjoying those good moments.
They should have a 3-point list of 3 people to call to laugh, a laughter list.
Yeah.
Have my friend who also features with me in Divorce Diaries, and he and I, our banter, our friendship is why I asked him to tour with me, because he makes me laugh. You know, like he makes me laugh. He makes me enjoy life more with just our day-to-day journey. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's a thing too. You think of when you think of loneliness, right? It's like, who makes you laugh on a day-to-day basis? And just everything that you do with them is an adventure.
Mm-hmm. You know, the human experience, we all want to avoid pain and seek pleasure. That's ultimately what we do all day long, all our lives, try to avoid pain and seek pleasure and a myriad of ways. But I love what you said, because it actually reminded me of something a coach recommended, which was to be ready for the bad moments by having like a written, she called it a prescription for a bad day. And whatever that's going to look like for you, like literally write it on a 3x5 card. Here's the 4 things I'm going to do, whatever, you know, maybe it's pray, maybe it's meditate, maybe it's watch a funny video. Maybe it's, you know, it could be anything. Right. And I like the thought that it could be calling that friend that makes you laugh, you know, because that would help.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And you have to have a team, or you have to have a plethora of resources to tap into. Mm-hmm. I always am a big advocate for running and walking and maybe doing both at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, this has been such a fun topic to explore. I want to just say, to recap, you know, we've heard a little bit about your story, Michelle. We've heard some corny divorce jokes. We have buzzed through some of the major benefits of smiling and laughter, and even explored how to add more of both of those to our lives, even if we have to fake it till we make it. What else do you have to share with us, Michelle, about the power of smiling and laughter?
I think you just have to go for what makes you feel good inside every day. So if it's not, you know, writing, or it's not walking, or it's not moving, or if it's creating a nap, whatever it is that you love to do, that's going to bring you happiness. That's going to bring you laughter, right? So I think that's the best piece of advice I can give, is find what you love to do, even if you're not doing it as your job, and do it as much as you can. Because that's going to bring smiles. That's going to bring laughter inside. That's why I chose what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And you know, that actually reminds me that a lot of times people are struggling with that, because going through a divorce, sometimes, you know, people are in a space where they realize that they've been putting their families ahead of themselves for their whole life. And they don't even know what they like and what they enjoy and what makes them smile and laugh. And so now is the time to explore. What is that? What do you want your life to look like now, so you can add more of those things into your life? So thank you for being here today to help us to tap into that. Tell us a little bit more about Divorce Diaries. Where can people see and hear more of your comedy?
Well, thank you, Annie, for having me. It was a blast. And people can go to divorcediariesshow.com, check out the upcoming shows. You can check out what's going on with the TV pilot that we just shot in June that will, you know, be going on a network at any point in the near future. We're manifesting that. and I also have on there a part on my website. I have a page called Leave Some Love, where you can just leave love about the show or about your own divorce diary. So like, I would love for people to go to that and just like write something about their own journey. So, It's divorcediaryshow.com, and you can find all the social media right there.
Awesome. Well, thank you again for being here. I'm super excited for an announcement that I want to make now about the coming 2022 Starting Over Stronger Divorce Recovery Retreats. The lovely Michelle Traina has been talking with me about this for a little bit, and we are going to be bringing guests on retreats for a lot of different reasons, because I did my own divorce recovery retreat about a month after my divorce. I planned it. I wrote the agenda. I just went and did it because I needed to do it. And I really didn't have any idea the impact it was going to have in my life. And I've talked to a lot of people about it, and I've tried to encourage my clients and friends and just anybody to do it. But it sometimes is just managing the details and or getting over the mindset of, I don't want to go on vacation alone. So what I've decided to do is just to create that opportunity for people so that they're not alone. They're going with a small group of people who are all going on that same journey, but they're going to have a lot of time for rest and rejuvenation and closure and just really kind of a great big reset for their life after their divorce. So that's coming in 2022. And the reason I'm mentioning that today is because Michelle Traina and the Divorce Diaries comedy is going to be a part of that, because I do value the importance of smiling and laughter. So listeners, watch at startingoverstronger.com for more information as it becomes available. And as always, please privately email me from your secure email account at annie@startingoverstronger.com. If you have any questions, I would love to make a personal introduction for you to Michelle, or the other way around, or even let you share your divorce story on the show. So if that's something you're interested in, reach out. So until we meet again next week, remember, you do not have to do divorce alone. You can grow through your divorce, not just go through it. See you next Wednesday for more help as you divorce and hope as you are starting over stronger.